Merry Christmas once again. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah born in Bethlehem long ago, now seated at the right hand of God the Father in heaven, may his grace and his peace be with you today. Amen. Today's service, message is titled, The Message of the Angels. I'd like to look at the words that were spoken on that night long ago when our very Creator, the one through whom all things were made, by God the Father, the Word of God, Jesus Christ, took on flesh and was born among us. The angels announced to the shepherds his coming. And that is in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 14. I'd like to look at several points that I see the Lord would teach us here through this word today. It says, in that region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, be not afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will come to all the people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You'll find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among men with whom he is pleased. Or as the King James Version says, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. There's a whole abundance of teaching that God would have in this for us today. What would he speak to his people on this Christmas? He's 2,000 years after his son's birth. Well, one of the things that I see in here is this word that go to Bethlehem and this will be a sign for you. You'll see a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. Why is that a sign? Why is it a sign that a baby should be lying in a manger? Basically, because babies didn't lie in mangers, did they? Even in those days, they had other types of cribs and things. A manger is a very unusual place to find a child. And in fact, you all know what a manger is. It is an animal's feeding trough. Put the hay in there. It's a nice resting place for the little child, Jesus. But why is this a sign? Why is this so important? Well, I think God is showing us here what kind of Savior, what kind of Christ, what kind of king he has come to be, which is a lowly king, a king of humility. Just think of what this means this Christmas morning when we read 1 Kings 8. In this particular part of the scripture, Solomon is he's just built the temple. He's dedicating it. He's praying to the Lord, and he says these words. He prays to God. He says, but will God indeed dwell on earth? Behold, heaven and the highest heaven cannot contain thee. How much less this house which I have built. Now, he's talking about a pretty enormous monument, a temple, a huge place. Even then, he says, how can God live here? This is just a tiny little speck to him. The universe itself, to Pluto and beyond. 1,000 galaxies cannot contain God, how much less this house that we've built. And yet, God comes to us in humility, lying in a manger, born in a smaller temple even than that, the temple of his own body, and a little child, just like we're hearing there from, is it Gabriel or Leah? One of the two, or maybe a concert between the two. But I want every time you hear that, be reminded that is what the Lord sounded like on that first morning. The same word that once, as it says in 1 John 1, through whom all things were made, the Word of God, speaking with power and might, speaking galaxies into existence. Imagine the power that is found in that word to speak, and Milky Way comes into existence in an instant by the Word of God. And yet that word was reduced down to a little sound of a baby crying. What a humiliation, a humbling that God had being born as a baby and then lying in a manger. Now, why did God do that? Why did God humble himself in this way? He could have come as king, right? In all his glory, powerful. You hear in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 16, that God dwells in unapproachable light. Remember last night we had a candle here, and would you dare to touch that candle with your finger? Just a little tiny candle. If you were to put your finger and hold it in there, you'd be burned. You'd be on your way to the hospital, emergency room. Well, God dwells in unapproachable light. He is so many more times than that, even than the Son, dwells in unapproachable light. You cannot get near Him. But then the beauty of Christmas is that He, though, has approached you. And in a way that you can see Him. In a way that you can know Him. And it says in Genesis that Enoch walked with God. Micah chapter 6, verses 6 to 8. What does the Lord require of you? It says, but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. What I'm saying here is that God, in being born, in this message of the angels that He's in a manger, should be speaking to you today, volume, saying God wants you to know Him. God wants you to walk with Him, to actually every day, by faith, be walking hand in hand with Him. And He's come down to you in a way that you can understand Him, in a way that you can know Him and relate to Him. And this is perhaps the greatest miracle. And think of what it says here in Luke chapter 15, first verse. It says this. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear Him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. Is He the kind of a God to you that you could actually have over to your house? That He would actually sit on your chair and speak? It may sound strange to you, but guess what? God has actually done this. We got the heavenly choirs. That's good. Yeah. God has actually come down to the earth. He has visited people's houses, houses of people who are sinners like yourselves, sat with them, eaten with them, and what did the people do? They drew near to Him to hear Him. And so when you hear the message of the angels that He has born as a little baby and then lying in a manger, this is showing us He has come to you in the most humble of ways to approach you when you could not approach Him so that you could actually know Him and walk with Him. That's why it says in Romans chapter 10, Paul quotes the Old Testament, says, God says, I have shown myself to those who did not ask for me. But does God show Himself to everybody? He certainly manifested Himself in the flesh before the eyes of the whole world, but some people's eyes had blinders on. They couldn't see Him. That's why it says in Psalm 138, verse 6, the Lord, though the Lord is high, He regards the lowly, but He knows the haughty from afar. And as Jesus also said in Luke chapter 10, I thank thee, Father, that thou hast hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to babes. Yea, Father, for such was thy gracious will. Are you a babe today? Can you be crying like that before the Lord? Or are you one of those high and mighty, high-browed, wise people who say, I know everything. I can approach God on my own righteousness, on my own intelligence, on my own goodness. God reveals Himself to the children. And if you have God grants you a humble mind, God reveals Himself to you. And how blessed are you to know that He is the Christ come to walk with you. I also think of when Naomi was a little tiny baby. And I remember in Gettysburg, she was just learning to crawl, just move across the floor. As a father, I'm standing to her a whole 10 feet above her. I'm so tall. And yet, what did I do as a father? I got down on the floor and I crawled around with her in humility. I rolled around with her. I made the same sounds that we're hearing right there. Ga, ga, goo, goo. I'm a grown man, but I'm doing that. Why? Out of love. I'm humbling myself to be one, to get and approach my daughter in a way that we can have a relationship with each other. And that's the great news of Christmas, that when Jesus is born as a manger, you should hear He has come down in a way that you can feel Him and touch Him. That's why John says in the first letter that he wrote, he says, that which was from the beginning, which we've seen and heard, which we've looked upon and touched with our hands concerning the word of life, the life was made manifest. And we saw it and testify to it and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. The Word, eternal life, took on flesh so that you can walk up to Jesus. You could, in those days, and even now by faith, touch Him, feel Him, and speak with Him and hear Him, because God wants you to know Him. And that's why He's humbled Himself. That's why He came at Christmas, so that you could actually know and have a relationship with a God who created you and made you, who's loved you. And then in humbling Himself to be down with you, His full intention in the long run is to raise you up to be with Him. Jesus humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So when you do that and confess Him as Lord to God the Father, Jesus said, he who exalts himself will be humble, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. When we believe in Him, repenting and trusting in Him as our Lord and Savior, confessing Him, God's not only come down to you, but He's also going to raise you up to be with Him. So there's one thing that I hear that the angels are speaking to us in the volumes that they speak. Another one is this. Their message, they sang, glory to God in the highest and peace on earth, goodwill to men. That's another beautiful thing, I think, at Christmas, isn't it? Because we can be terrified of God. When we approach the unapproachable light, it shines on the darkness of our hearts. And I have to wrestle with this a lot. I feel my own sin, my inadequacies, my imperfections. I can be a harsh judge of myself sometimes. And I think, you know, how can I approach this God who I hear in the Bible things like this? Look at Psalm 50. It says, the mighty one, God the Lord, speaks and summons the earth from the rising of the sun to its setting. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God shines forth. Our God comes. He does not keep silence. Before Him is a devouring fire. Round about Him a mighty tempest. He calls to the heavens above and to the earth that He may judge His people. Gather to Me My faithful ones who made a covenant with Me by sacrifice. The heavens declare His righteousness, for God Himself is judge. That's a beautiful word, right? About God's justice, but at the same time, it makes my legs shake. My judge, what a great, powerful God He is, and I could be really scared at Jesus' coming, at His birth. But in the message of the angels, I hear something that calms and quiets and soothes all my fears. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Goodwill. That's why God came. You know what that means in the Greek? It's a, let's see if I can find that, eudokia, which means basically kind intention. God came not to smite the earth, not to destroy it. The Son of Man came not to destroy men's lives, but to save them. God came down, just think about this, this is the real God who's living right now in heaven, who created you, who has come down to earth with kind intentions, wanting to draw you to Himself in friendliness, and that you might be His friend and walk with Him humbly. And so that word goodwill toward men is also in Ephesians 1 verse 5, which is translated like this. In love He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself according to the kind intention of His will. Do you believe that today? That God is kind toward you? God desires, the Lord is just in all His ways and kind in all His doings, it says in the Psalms. Are you quivering before Him? Well, we need to have a holy fear like we talked about last night, but God wants you to walk with Him. He came down in a way that He can wash away your sins through His cross so that you can daily be knowing your Creator and knowing Him not just as your God and judge, but also as your friend and your Savior. Peace on earth. Goodwill toward men. And so you should be rejoicing today that you can have friendship with the God. I mean, imagine, you have God over for lunch. I mean, think of what He can do. He can speak a galaxy into existence, and you're worried about a phone bill that you can't pay? If God is on your side, who or what can be against you? So you should be rejoicing in that today, according to the message of the angels. And then Also, I want to say this. In verse 11 of Luke chapter 2, says this, and here's something I think is really important. Of course, it's all important, right? But it says, "Be not afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will come to all people." Verse 11, "For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." I think we can have a problem as Christians sometimes, getting a little general about the faith. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him. And then Isaiah 9 says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." You can think, yes, he died for the world. Unto us a son is given, but what about me? Would he really do that for me? Poor, miserable, wretched me? Yeah, for the world, sure, but not for me. But here's the message of the angels, people. He says, "To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." When I say, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that all who believe in him might not perish but have eternal life," could you put your name in there instead? Because God actually took your sins, lifted your individual sins, every one of you, off of your backs, carried them on his own back to the cross, received the anger and the wrath of God in your place, and thereby got rid of the anger of God. It was the Father's and the Son's plan that you might be saved and have Christ's righteousness covering you like a shield or like a garment or a clothing or a cloak when you believe in him by faith. And so I want you to do this right now as we're concluding this sermon. For God so loved me. For God so loved Greg that he gave his only begotten Son that I might believe in him, not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved David. For God so loved Linda. For God so loved Lee. For God so loved Drew. Add your name into it. That he gave his only begotten Son to die for me, for you, that whoever believes in him might not perish, but have eternal life, and then be able to walk with God as a friend for the rest of our lives and unto eternity, where he, as it says in Ephesians 1, where that goodwill word comes back in, it says that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. So rejoice this Christmas day in your Savior who has come to bring you this love and friendship with God the Father through his cross and confirmed in his glorious resurrection. Amen.